Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom. We're now on Masachet Yoma Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and this will be the final podcast of this, the first parak of Yoma. And it will be devoted entirely to a description of some of the miracles of the Beit HaMikdash. So Rav said, when Am Yisrael comes up for the regel, they stand in the Azara crowded together, but when they bow down, they have plenty of room, and they go and they occupy the entire 11 amot width that's behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim from there to the west wall. Now, Maika Amar, what does he mean? Hakigamar, afal pishim shachin achadisrei amachar beit hakavod. Even though they're so crowded, they fill in that area. But nonetheless, when they would bow, they would have plenty of room to bow. The Mishnah in Avot tells us there were 10 miracles in the Beit HaMikdash. Right? And that's one of them. What are they? A woman never miscarried from being exposed to the smell of the kodshim meat. And the meat never spoiled. There was never a fly seen in the slaughterhouse where they would clean up the meat. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol never had a carry that would make him tameh on Yom Kippur. These three public menachot never were pasul. The one we started with. Now this moves out of the mikdash that a scorpion or snake never hurt anybody in Yerushalayim. And another one about Yerushalayim. Person never said, "I don't have a place to stay in Yerushalayim." Now, the question is, Patach Mikdash say Yerushalayim. Why did the list begin with the Mikdash and then end with Yerushalayim, as I pointed out? The answer is, Ikatar Tachvanayt Mikdash. There were two other miracles of the Mikdash, so there really were 10 there, plus the two of Yerushalayim. Tetanya Me'olam lo kibug shamim esh shal atzei maracha. That even though the maracha is outside, the Mizbeach is outside, rain never put out that fire. Vashana maracha afilu kol aruchot shbolam baot meshvopo en muzizodotom imkumo. And the smoke of the maracha fire, no matter how strong the wind would come, would never move it from its place. All right, so there's your two others. The two leka, there's no others. Vatanya of Shmaya Bekal Nevo, certain town. Shivrei Klecheres Nivlainu Kolan. If they had a Klecheres that became Tamei and they smashed it, it just got swallowed up by the earth right in its place, or by the tile, in the tiles. And by a Mora'av and Otsav, Yishun Mizbeach HaPimim, Yishun HaMnorah Nivlainu Bimkoman. That the Mora'av and Otsav, which are the parts of the bird that are pulled out before being put on the Mizbeach, the esophagus and the feathers, would just be swallowed up right in their spot. And also, when cleaning off the inner Mizbeach and the menorah, those ashes would all fall right in the spot and be swallowed up in the ground. Alright, so the answer is, so that now you have, 12. The answer is, psulei platahavu. The three menachot that we had, omer lechem panim yishtei alechem, is all, there are three of them, chashvinu kvechad, that actually counts as one. And so now, apik taratrei, so take two out of that list, because all three of them are one. Vayel trei, and then you have room for these two that we just added. So yachi blui nami trei havu. So if so, you have the shivrei klecheres, which is one, and the moravin otsa, which is one, but they're all bluin. So if you're gonna count all psulin as one, then all bluin should be one. And then count them as one, chasvalu, now you only have 9, not 10. So the answer is, you're right, ikarami achritu. We have another miracle. The lechem panim was as fresh the day you took it off, a week after putting it on. Shneimar, the famous pasuk with Achimelech and David, in Nov, lasum lachem chom biyom hilakcho. Taking off the, and read biyom as ki yom hilakcho, taking the hot bread, the warm bread off, like the day that it was put on. The two leika, that's all the miracles they were. Relevi, the Razam Sot Piyadim, we have a tradition. Makom Aron, Eno Min Hamida. The Aron, which is only in the first Mikdash, occupied no space. You measured from one wall to the Aron, and from the other wall to the Aron, and then you measure the whole thing, and you end up with the same space. The Kruvim stood miraculously. So the answer is, Nisei Debroi Kachashiv, Nisei Degvai Lo Kachashiv. They're only counting miracles that happen outside in the courtyard, not inside the Mikdash. And of course, the Aron and the Kruvim are in the Kodesh Kadoshim. So, Lechem HaPanim is also inside. So they could have answered, inside means Kodesh Kedoshim, but instead they point out that Lachem HaPanim Nisei Debrayahu. Those are outside miracles. Why? That the Lachem HaPanim is put on HaShulchan HaTahor. Tahor Michlal Shu Tamei, meaning that it could be Tamei, but Kli Eitz HaSoy LaNachetu. It's a Kli Eitz, the Shulchan is made of wood, it's made only for putting things on, meaning it's not used for moving. So the Shulchan cannot be Mekabel Tuma. So why do you call it a Shulchan HaTahor? Chotzei Sifnei HaTuma, it actually blocks Tuma. Shulchan HaTahor means that they would actually, yes, they would pick it up. Means it was not, it was a Kli Eitz Asui, also the Taltel, and therefore Mekabel Tuma. And why would they ever lift it up? For the people who made Aliyah LeRegel, they would open up the doors of the Mikdash and pick it up inside the Kodesh and let everybody in the Azara see it. They would say, look how much Hashem loves you. This bread is as fresh as the day that it was put on. And they quote the Pasuk in Shmuel. Okay, so now, Lachem HaPanim really is also an outside miracle. As a matter of fact, that particular point is an outside piece. The two Laker and other miracles, from a strange line, but Shlomo planted trees of gold. And the Perot would come out at the normal time for those Perot, and when the wind would blow through them, they would drop gold. That the pre would make noise, and Levanon is an allusion to the Beit HaMikdash, from the Pasuk in Devarim. When the Goyim came in, it's the Bavlim, Yavesh, they dried up, the flowers of the Levanon have been withered. God will eventually bring them back, so that again, a reference to the Levanon, to the Mikdash, is going to reflower. So the answer is Nisi Dikvi Lo Kachashiv. He's not mentioning Nisim that are set built in, and rather Nisim that happen to things that are occasionally people coming together, meat coming there, etc. Hashatilachi. Once you count that, Aron Kruvim Nami Nisi Dikvi Ninu. Then you don't need to distinguish between inside and outside because the Aron Kruvim are things that are fixed in place, like these trees, and that they're not counting. They're counting miracles that would happen on occasions of coming to the Mikdash. Or interactions in the Mikdash. Okay, we're going to take a look at one more component here, which is Ashan HaMaracha. Ashan HaMaracha was miraculously wasn't moved. So we'll look at two opposite aspects of that. Umiyavi Ashan HaMaracha, since when was there any smoke from that fire? Tanya Chamisha Devarim Namru Be'esh HaMaracha. There's five things said about that fire. Revutza Kari, it's lying like a lion. Uvaraka Chama, it's clear as the sun. Be'esh HaMaracha, it has real substance to it. Ochelet Lachin Kiveshin, it devours wet things like dry things, but you know, Malashan has no smoke. The answer is Kamrina Bidahedyot. We're talking about the human fire that was brought, as opposed to the divine fire which was just described, that had no smoke. The Tanya, not Nubne Aaron Hakoin Eshalam Izbeach. In the beginning of Vayikra it says Bnei Aaron put fire on the Mizbeach. Meaning Alpishamaim, even though there's a divine fire that comes down, it's Falavim Ahidyot. Nonetheless, we are commanded to bring our own fire. And it's our fire that has the smoke that miraculously wasn't moved. Okay, Revutza Kari, was this fire really lying like a lion? Vatanya, Am Rabbi Chanina's Karakoni, Mani Ritia, was a kakelev, it looks like a dog. So, Lakasha, have Mikdash Rishon, come Mikdash Sheni. So, Mikdash Rishon was like a lion, Mikdash Sheni, or late Mikdash Sheni was like a dog. Mikdash Sheni Miave, but this fire wasn't Mikdash Sheni at all. Rishon Ba'inya, Mai Dichti, Ve'erze Bove Ekavda, when building the second Mikdash, the Navi says, I will going to accept it and I will be honored there. Karina vekavda, but it's written vekaved. Maishtan v'chusar hay, why is the hay missing? Ilu chamisha dvarim shayum mikdash rishon mikdash sheni. To show you that there's five things that won't be in this new mikdash that were in the old one. Ve'ilun aron v'kapor tu kruvim. So all of the appurtenances of the Kodesh Kedoshim, which are buried by Yoshiyahu. Eish, Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh, and Urim v'tumim. So those five things are not in Mikdash Sheni. So there was no Eish Min HaShamayim. So Amri'in, there actually was an Eish Min HaShamayim. Siyo HaMasayah, but didn't help to devour anything. It was there just as a sign. So it was still there, and it looked like a dog, but it didn't accomplish anything except to be there. Tan Rabbanan, Sheish Ishotein, there's six kinds of fires. Yesh Ochelet Ve'ina Shotah, there's a kind of fire that devours, but does not drink up, which means not create a fever. Shotah v'nochelet, the opposite. Yeshochelet v'shotah does both. Yeshochelet l'achin kibeshin. It devours wet and dry things together. She'esh tocha esh. There's a fire that can push off another fire. Yeshochelet esh. A fire that even devours a fire. Let's see what these are. Yeshochelet v'nochotah. What's that? Hadidan, a regular fire that we have. It devours things. Shotah v'nochelet. What's that? The cholin, meaning a fever. Ochelet v'shotah, that's the Eliyahu at Har HaKarmel, d'ktiv, et hamayim asher batala lichecha. It not only burned up the korban, it also singed the water that Eliyahu poured around to increase the miracle around the Mizbeach. Ochelet achin kiveshin, it devours moist like dry, k'maracha, that's the fire on the Mizbeach. Yesh esh toche esh, a fire that pushes off another fire, that's Gavriel. And yesh esh ochelet esh, what's that? The Shekhinah, the Amar Maro Shidat Spo Benen Safan, that God puts his finger in between the Malachim and burns them up, and their fire. Okay, Ashana Racha, Filagor Choch Balam, and Mizel Tatom Komo. The last point we're going to look at is again about the smoke. He said one of the miracles is that no wind could move it. Remember Yitzchak Baravdim, is that really true? Mose Yom Tov Achron Shachag, at the end of Sukkot, Hakot Sofin Lashana Racha, everybody around would look around to Shalim to see what direction the smoke was blowing. Why? If it's blowing towards the north, then the poor are happy, but not the landowners. That means there's going to be a lot of rain. And that means that the fruit that they've put stored away are going to rot, and they're going to put them out to give to the anim. If it goes in the southern direction, it's the opposite. Because the rain's going to be few. And the perot will be able to be stored. If it goes east, because it means there's going to be rain, and that's good for everybody. If it goes west, everybody's sad, because it means there's going to be a drought. So that means that the column did move. The answer is, it moved, but it moved like a stick. But it didn't separate, meaning it still stayed as a column, but it tipped one way or the other to indicate the rain, the future of the rain for that season. Okay, Amar, klapei mizrach, hakol smechin. Now, in Yerushalayim, we said that if it went east, everybody was happy. West, they were unhappy. Or meaning, we have a challenge. An easter wind, which blows to the west, is good. And the opposite. A northerly wind is good for wheat, if they've already grown a bit. And it's bad for olives, if the olives have already started to bloom. And a southerly wind is the opposite. Good for the olives, bad for the wheat. Easy way to remember it is Haimar Bedidei v'Haimar Bedidei. Is the Shulchan that had the Lechem HaPanim made of wheat is in the north. So a northerly wind is good for wheat. And the menorah, which had the olive oil in it, represents the olive, so it's in the south, so a southerly wind is good for olives. Okay, and each one is kind of supporting itself, the north and the south. So, but we have the opposite about east and west being good or bad. The answer is Lokasha, Halan Vahalahu. For us in Bavel, the wind blowing towards the west is good and east is bad. In Eretz Yisrael, it was the exact opposite because different climactic conditions and different topography would lead to that. Okay, Adran Alach Shivat Yamim, we've completed our study of the first parak of Masechet Yoma. The next podcast, we will begin with a description of the pious, the development of the pious, the reasons for the pious, for the lottery of the Kohanim every day, and its mechanisms. And in the meantime, we'll pause here and wish everybody a wonderful day.